This is Nick Geyer, the Blues Pundit, wishing Mahatma Gandhi a happy 137th birthday. I would like to take the occasion of Gandhi's birthday to reflect on what it means to be a saint. The title Mahatma means great soul, and I would like to suggest that a great person need not be morally perfect. Philosopher Susan Wolfe has defined the saint as one whose every action is morally good as possible. But she finds that moral perfection alone does not make a normal life, or an especially rich one. She finds this conclusion disturbing because we've always been told to be as morally perfect as we can be. In his response to Wolfe, fellow philosopher Robert Adams claims that she's made moral perfection too central to the life of the saint. Adams says that saintliness is not perfectionism, and if we look at the lives of our saints, we will find a few moral flaws. Even Jesus said that no one is good but God alone, and the Buddha begged his disciples not to deify him. Adams also criticizes Wolfe for viewing the saints apart from their religious lives and the transformative role that God allegedly had on these great persons. Religious saints have sacrificed everything because they have faith that God will provide not only for them, but also for their great humanitarian projects. The achievements of both Gandhi and other saints appear to go far beyond the resources of their respective background and character. Like the prophets of old, they were very unlikely and somewhat reluctant political and spiritual leaders. Many attributed their success to divine grace, and this presumably explains why they were able to exhibit great love and compassion while still remaining flawed human beings. To be fair to Professor Wolfe, she does offer a broader vision of the saint by adding the qualities of personal bearing, creativity, and sense of style. These qualities could be summed up by the word charisma, so I propose that we look for moral charisma in our saints. The saints are not poor morally perfect. Rather, they are great in vitality, compassion, and courage. The saint has a broad vision of cultural, political, moral, and spiritual possibilities. Gandhi's commitment to recognizing the good in every religion and every person, his strong empathy for his enemies, and his ability to draw diverse people to his cause make him an outstanding charismatic saint. Contrary to more common perceptions, Islam in India and Indonesia was not spread by the sword, but by Sufi missionaries and saints. When I visited a Hindu friend in Jaipur in 2005, the first religious site we visited was the shrine of a great Sufi saint. There were just as many Hindus there as Muslims. In 1995, Hindu friends from Punjab University invited me to join them in celebrating a Sikh saint's birthday. The Hindu men and I were conspicuous in a throng of thousands because we did not wear turbans. Except for the minority Hindu and Muslim fundamentalist families, Indian children are taught to revere all saints regardless of religious affiliation. Gandhi embodied this Indian tradition in spades, as only a true saint could do. The Buddha and Christ are some of our foremost ancient practitioners of nonviolence. Christ's message was that we are to love even those who hate us is essentially the message of the Buddha. Both knew very well that hate burns a hole in the heart. Both were great souls whose virtue shines down through the ages. Equally remarkable, particularly because we know their personal histories and weaknesses so well, are the lives of Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and Mother Teresa. Taking the ancient saints of nonviolence, or our more recent saints as our models, let us try to develop the virtue of nonviolence until it becomes as natural as taking a breath. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgier@adelphia.net or read about my book on Gandhi at www.nickgier.com.